John chapter 20. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, and we know from other accounts that there were also other women, so Mary Magdalene and other women came to the sepulchre early, when it was still dark, and saw the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, so that'd be John, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Mary Magdalene immediately, right up front, assumed someone has stolen Jesus' body. Not realizing that he had risen from the dead, she assumed someone had stolen his body. Therefore, Peter and that other disciple, John, went out and went to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. I think that's kind of funny. I was faster than Peter. And came to the sepulchre first, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the sepulchre and saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth that was around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So everything was neatly folded, sounds to me like, which would indicate that it wasn't somebody stealing the body. I don't think they would have, you know, taken the time to fold everything and put everything in order in the sepulchre. Then that other disciple, John, who came first to the sepulchre, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture. I'm going to say that means they didn't fully comprehend the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. I mean, Jesus had told them plenty of times what was going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to raise from the dead. And he told them that several times, so it's not like they never heard that. I just think they didn't fully comprehend it yet. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping, so this would be her second time at the tomb, I think. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Maybe she didn't know these were angels. I think she did. But it just seems odd that, you know, they're just carrying on this regular conversation. I mean, I would have been dumbfounded. I would have been speechless. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Why she didn't know Jesus, I don't know. Don't know if he had changed forms or if, you know, it was the lighting or just, you know, the distance. I don't know. But she didn't recognize him. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. If you took his body, please tell me." Jesus said to her, "Mary." When he said that, she recognized that it was Jesus. She turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." I think this means, don't cling to me. There's still time. I'm still going to be here for a little while. I'm not ascending to my Father just yet. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then at evening the same day, being the first day of the week, so this is Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, so they were assembled on the Sunday evening for worship, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, I think some of this is symbolic. When it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," they didn't actually receive the power from the Holy Spirit for 47 more days. We'll see that in Acts chapter 1 and 2. So I think that's symbolic. And then in verse 23, where he says, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, obviously, the apostles did not have the authority to forgive people's sins. So I think what he is saying is, when you preach to people based on their response to the gospel, their sins will either be forgiven or not forgiven based on their response. And I say that because to try to say, yes, this means the apostles had the authority to forgive sins, would contradict everything else that's taught in the New Testament. So I don't think that's at all what he means. Like, you guys have the authority to forgive sins. No, they didn't. They were appointed to teach and preach the gospel, and based on each person's response to that gospel, their sins would either be forgiven or not forgiven, depending on whether they accepted and obeyed the gospel or rejected and did not obey the gospel. But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Therefore, the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There's a lot of people that are just like Mr. Doubting Thomas here. Unless God comes to me personally, I will not believe him. I don't care about all of the evidence around me of his existence. I don't care of all the people that have seen him and talked about him. Unless I see it for myself, I will not believe. Very, very common even today. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Now, this again, I believe, would be the second time that Jesus appeared to them. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and behold my hands, and reach your hand here and thrust it into my side, and do not be faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Another statement showing that Jesus is God. He called him my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's going to be us today. That's going to include us today. Of course, none of us have seen Jesus. We've not seen God. What we have, though, is tons and tons of evidence to prove that there is a creator. And then when you start studying the Bible, you can see how amazing it is. And there's so much evidence within the Bible to prove its authenticity. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This indicates to me that the Bible is sufficient. These are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through his name. And of course, that would include obedience. So the Bible is sufficient. And that is John chapter 20.